On our election road trip, we haven't seen as many signs here in New Hampshire as we remember from past primaries. Maybe signage has moved to social media. But there was one big blue one that screamed Trump up on a hill in front of a modest house. So we stopped to say hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, hi.
So we were just driving by and saw your sign. It's huge. What do you think about...
It's 4x8.
4x8.
Yeah.
Obviously, you wanted to make a statement. So what was the statement you're making?
Well, I'm really tired of politicians, all right? And Trump's not a politician. And I think this past administration has done more damage to this country than, any generations in the past or any presidents in the past.
How so? I mean, well, you look at the economy while you're thinking. The unemployment rate has dropped. We've been huge recovery from that.
No, they're telling you the unemployment rate has dropped. It really hasn't dropped. It's actually increased. There's a lot of people out of work. I'm out of work myself.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Now, did they give you that sign? That is a big darn sign.
Yeah, it came from the Trump headquarters. Yeah. Well, I said I had a good place to put it.
Yeah. Do.
I haven't gotten visited by Donald yet, but you notice I say yet.
You hope you do.
Sure, I'd like to meet him. Yeah. Maybe he'll give me a job.
Joel Crossman speaking to us outside his home near Loudoun, New Hampshire. Let's bring in Dante Scala, a political science professor at the University of New Hampshire. Dante, it's been 4 years. You never call. You never write. We see each other every 4 years. And
sorry.
Nice to see you again. And Felice Bellman, political editor of the Boston Globe. Before that, a longtime reporter at the Concord Monitor. I'm holding your old paper in front of me. Felice, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
And we were struck by Joel. That was just an excerpt. He bristled at first when he saw media. But he warmed when we listened to him. So, Dante, start with you. Is that a theme of this election, that people on either side of the aisle just want to be heard?
Yeah, and I think that's especially true for the Trump voter. On the one hand, the Republican Party is becoming more and more dependent on white working class voters. And it's those very voters who feel as if Republican policies haven't addressed their needs, anxieties about their economic future, their kids' future. And I think kind of the chickens are coming home to roost, in the sense that Donald Trump hears what they're saying and he has a message that's resonating with those people because he's addressing issues that matter to them.
Well, it's really interesting, Felice, because we hear a lot when we're out on the trail of Donald Trump supporters saying, how angry they are at the Obama administration. But Dante, you're saying they're equally angry at other Republicans. Felice?
Yeah, I think that's right. We sent a big crew of reporters out to just talk to voters all over the state over the weekend. And one of the remarkable things we found was people supporting, planning to vote for Bernie Sanders, but having kind things to say about Donald Trump. And you wouldn't think that those two sentiments could come out of the same voter. But what they basically said was, Washington's out of control. They're not listening to us. And both of these candidates in their own ways are allowing people to express their frustration. This person was going to definitely vote for Bernie Sanders, and yet, they could say something nice about Trump.
No. And Dante, were you going to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I think, a lot of voters think about politics in terms of right versus left, conservative versus liberal. But I think for those Trump-Sanders voters, so to speak, I think they think of it in terms of ins versus outs, elites versus the rest of us. And I think that's what's resonating for them, for both Sanders and Trump, is that they're giving this very explicitly populist message that's resonating in this particular cycle.
Well, and we should say that within each of the camps, there are people who would be appalled at the notion of voting for the other, equally voting for the other. But I just want to ask you, Dante, while we have you briefly, about unemployment, because as we just heard, a voter, Joel, say, for him, it's about he wants Donald Trump to give him a job. And yet unemployment is so low. It's low across the country. It's so low here in New Hampshire. What's the disconnect here? Is it that maybe those numbers really aren't true and more people have given up looking, as we always hear? Or is it that if the number is just one and it's you, that's all that matters?
Well, I got to think that your personal situation affects your overall outlook, number one. But number two, the recession meant different things for, say, a college-educated worker versus someone with, say, a high school education. And I'm not sure how much education your interviewee had, but for working class voters, I think a lot of them feel as if the recession never ended, that they didn't make it all the way back from that, and they were already behind. And again, I think Trump speaks to those voters, and so does Sanders, talking about economic inequality.
Felice, I want to ask about another candidate. Marco Rubio had been surging, strong third place finish in Iowa. But then there was the debate, Chris Christie, you know, taking punches at him for repeating his talking points. If you see him on the trail, he does do a standard speech. He doesn't deviate. But then in his final rally in New Hampshire last night, he once again was caught repeating talking points. Listen.
We are taking our message to families that are struggling to raise their children in the 21st century, because as you saw, Jeanette and I are raising our four children in the 21st century. And we know how hard it's become to instill our values in our kids, instead of the values they try to ram down our throats. In the 21st century, it's become harder than ever to instill in your children the values they teach in our homes and in our church, instead of the values that they try to ram down our throats in the movies, in music, in popular culture.
Yeah, it's a bit of a video that's kind of going viral. Felice?
Boy, he tripped himself up, didn't he? You know, everything about this is remarkable to me. On one hand, a politician with talking points. I mean, as if that's something new, right? I mean, aren't they all sort of like that? On the other hand, I sort of, when I was watching that debate, which was, you know, widely seen as a fumble for Marco Rubio, I sort of thought, well, how many people are watching a debate on a Saturday night? And yet, Sunday morning, as we had reporters out at events for all sorts of candidates, everybody knew about it. It was just sort of in the air. And whether they had literally seen it themselves or their neighbor had told them about it or they saw it on social media, it's amazing how quickly word can spread. And I think that this cycle, you know, the news has just been speeded up and up and up. And it makes the whole thing feel tumultuous and still unclear what's going to happen by the end of the day.
Well, let's talk about that. Dante Scala, what should we be watching for today and tonight? What tea leaves should we look for?
Well, certainly, you know, a couple places turn in their votes early in New Hampshire because they're machine counted. And the cities of Keene and Manchester, to me, are essential. Keene is a city that sits in the Connecticut River Valley, adjoining Vermont, Bernie Sanders' backyard. If Hillary Clinton is doing well, perhaps carrying the city of Keene, then maybe Clinton's going to have a better night once again than we all thought just like 8 years ago. The city of Manchester, largest city in New Hampshire, many more working class blue collar workers. If Bernie Sanders is carrying the city of Manchester, then these polls, which have suggested this enormous lead for Sanders, may in fact have been accurate.
And Felice Velman, take us further into trends we should be looking for. We remember, past huge victories that went on to be president. John McCain, Gary Hart, you know. So what else, I mean, aside from what the vote that actually happens at the end of the night, what else? What political trends, what you know, thinking should we be taking in?
Let me just add one more community worth watching to Dante's list, which is the city of Laconia in the Lakes region, which a pollster that the Boston Globe has been working with from Suffolk University determined is sort of a modern day bellwether for both parties, that in the last several election cycles, voters in Laconia have pretty much mirrored what the rest of the state has done. And so if we're able to get Laconia returns quickly, that will perhaps tell people what to expect about the rest of the night. Beyond this, you know, there's a lot of debate every 4 years about whether New Hampshire is representative, whether our vote should count as much as it does, whether we're going to be influential in one way or another. You know, usually there's a winnowing of the field that happens here. And so even if New Hampshire doesn't pick the nominee or the next president, it's a place where people, you know, they either their fortunes sort of win or lose because they may not be able to have the money to sustain them beyond New Hampshire if they haven't done well here. This year, I feel like everything's up in the air. I mean, Donald Trump doesn't need big fundraising to keep going. Candidates with super PACs aren't going to be devastated necessarily. And if the race for number 2 and 3 and 4 is very close, it's hard to see anybody giving up so quickly. And so I think the dynamic feels quite different this time around.
Dante, no winnowing, perhaps?
Perhaps. I mean, this New Hampshire could put things back into a jumble heading into South Carolina, depending on how second through fifth emerges on the Republican side, which could be determined by mere, you know, 2 or 3 percentage points. Sometimes primaries in New Hampshire aren't about crowning front runners. Sometimes they're about sending a message. And that, to me, feels like one of those years.
And what is the message?
Well, I think the message for both Sanders and for Clinton is economic inequality and listening to the grassroots.